Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle A.
Jesus always challenges people's imagination, sometimes even to the point of embarrassment. Consider today's gospel. What feast is today? Baptism of the Lord, using John's gospel. However, what was not described in the reading? The baptism of Jesus. See, Jesus' baptism embarrassed the early Christians. Shouldn't Jesus have baptized John instead? The greater should baptize the least. And followers of John the Baptist threw that into Christian faces for decades. So no wonder John's gospel doesn't actually describe Jesus' baptism. He alludes to it. Instead, he distracts us and points to the Baptist's words, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from the sky and remain upon him." The writer of John's gospel wants you to know from the very beginning who Jesus is. There is no gradual unveiling in this gospel. He puts the Christian faith up front on the Baptist list. Jesus is the pre-existent one who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. Jesus is the new Passover who frees us. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the new creation who will baptize us with the Holy Spirit, making us a new creation. Jesus is the Son of God who became like us that we might become like him. But why did Jesus historically, literally, actually, intentionally get in line with sinners and no accounts to be baptized? Why do that? Because he wants to identify with us at our most broken spot. God in Jesus wants to stand with all the lowlifes of this world. That's you and me. What a gracious God who would draw that close. Now, too many people think that you have to be perfect. You have to not mess up to get to that gracious God. And that's a fool's dream. In fact, it's damnable pride. To think that you or I could be that good that we could, on our own, get to God. If you could be that good, you really don't need God. No, Jesus pours himself into us. He pours himself into us precisely to lift us up, to give us that dynamism we don't have, the power of the Spirit. So our first job is to simply let Jesus in, to let him in here, to begin that transformation. He takes away sins. He breathes his Spirit into us. He makes us sons and daughters of the Father, things that we could not do on our own. Live with Jesus' loving in you, and his love changes everything. Paul made the same point. Sorry, you got a scripture geek today. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and to you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy. Sounds tame, except the two phrases, called to be an apostle and called to be holy, aren't there. There is no to be with that sense of futurity there. I can't make myself holy. Indeed, the word holy is better translated holy ones or saints. Hear it this way. Paul, called an apostle, not called to be, called an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to you who have been sanctified, in Christ, called saints, now called saints, not later. Now, this all sounds like majoring in a minor point, but I want to suggest to you it's not. Christ has sanctified you in baptism. You have become one with Christ in his embrace. You are holy ground because Jesus poured himself into you. You are saints because God claims you as his own. Now, I won't speak for you. Can I say that I'm a saint as most people understand it? That I've got my life together at my tender age? No way. Be patient. God isn't finished with me yet or with you. This is a process that God is doing. Yes, we say, I am not worthy. Well, deal with it. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. And the Corinthian Christians were really unworthy. You read Paul's letter and you see really a messed up community. Yet Paul still called them saints. It was not because of what they achieved, but rather what God was doing in them, in you. But you got to let him in. You got to let him in. Only you can let him in. It is your personal engagement, your opening your heart to him, your time spent with him, your wrestling with his way of thinking that gives him the space to act in you. Sure, you can push him away, but he's still there knocking on that door of your heart. But if you open up, then he will make, he'll make you embarrassing just like Jesus. In this inauguration week, some wonder what kind of a country we are. Divisiveness, entitlement, avarice, blaming, truthiness, callousness, and more, you name it, seem to rule the cultural day. Just as Jesus identified with us, broken as we are, in being baptized, he's asking you, he's asking me, who will you stand with? Jesus embarrassed religious types. He angered the Pharisees by eating with sinners and tax collectors and letting a harlot wash his feet. He surprised priests by touching, by becoming unclean by touching lepers, a dead boy, and a girl. He embarrassed his disciples by washing their feet. Jesus was always crossing the boundaries of propriety to lift others up, to lift others up, to lift us up. Who is God asking you to reach out to? There are people in your life that you're the only one that they will ever listen to. Jesus, the lawbreaker, embarrasses legalists then and now. Jesus knew how to break the law for a higher one. He violated the Sabbath rest. He cured on it, condoned his disciples picking grain during it. He gave us a model not of rigid legal observance, but of responsible action to lift others up. Do I really want to shoulder responsibility for others, to carry their load with them? Jesus redefined holiness, not as separation, but as compassion. He asks of us a love that is larger than largesse. He asks us to forgive those who hurt us, to do good to those who would harm us, to repay a curse with a blessing. Jesus wants us to swim against a prevailing cultural stream. Dare I really risk living like Jesus? No wonder John's gospel makes Jesus' identity so clear from the very beginning. Lest we forget who we're following. God and Jesus identified with us in our brokenness, that we might be and that we might lift others up to Him. In my life, in those times when I've reached out, I've always discovered a greater joy because I've finally given myself away like the Lord. If you want a life of joy, be there for someone else.
I told you last week the Catholic student leaders went on a retreat. All the leaders spent time together getting connected and connected with the Lord. And they want to share that. Today, a first-year grad student in cancer biology in the med school is going to share his connection and inviting people to that connection. So, Tony, please come forward.
Hello. As Father said, my name is Tony, and I'm a first-year graduate student here at Stanford. And he invited me up here tonight to share a little bit with you about my faith journey and to convince you, to challenge you to join one of our small groups this quarter. So first, a little bit about myself. Growing up in a Catholic family and attending Catholic schools for much of my upbringing, I was constantly taught both at home and in school that God loves me. And even tonight here at Mass, we've said it dozens of times that God loves us. For me, for much of my life, and even still, I think this is a really hard message to fully comprehend, to fully understand. And I think that's because love is something that really needs to be experienced. It's something that needs to be felt. It's not something that you can just be taught that somebody loves you. You really need to feel it. And over the past few years, I've really found some great places to feel God's love. And a big part of that has been through small groups. So two of the great places that I see God's love, other than, of course, the Eucharist, which is one of the most beautiful outpourings of His love, is in His Word, the Bible, and in His most beautiful creations, people. All of us here, my friends, my family, everyone I love. That's God's love, really, and sort of reflecting back and forth between all of us. So small groups, what they are is they're just a small community of people coming together, you know, on a weekly basis for about an hour or so. It's not a huge commitment, but it's a small group of people who come together to lift each other up and to learn a little bit more about God's love by trying to understand what He's telling us in the Scripture. So as I said, small groups have been a really big part of me experiencing God's love over the past few years. So what we have for you tonight is sign-ups in the back of the church after Mass. We have small groups for undergraduates. We have small groups for graduate students. And I believe coming in Lent, we're going to have some small groups for the permanent community too. So I'd like to challenge you to all sign up. And even if you know God's love, if you know God's love, then you can share that with somebody else in a small group. And we need you, whether you're a biblical scholar or you haven't picked up a Bible, you know, as often as you'd like to, I think you have something really valuable and unique that you can contribute to a small group. So come see us after Mass. We're going to be at a table there in the back, and we'll have more information for you. And I really hope to get to know some of you and to grow to love some of you this coming quarter through a small group. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.